Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 377 for comics originally released on October 29th, 2014. Now, starting us off in DC is Justice League United Annual Number 1. Now, a little while ago, we did the Futures End issue of Justice League United because that's when I thought the Legion of Superheroes was returning, but I was mistaken. This is the issue. That's why we're reviewing this one. If you enjoyed the other review, awesome, you got lucky. I've been waiting for the Legion to return since they lost their own title, or actually titles, because they started with two, Legion and a Legion Lost. And that Futures End issue we reviewed had Wildstar and Dawnstar. They were pretty much just cameos almost. But they were Legionnaires that were stuck in the present when Legion Lost ended. So this is the first time we've seen the Legionnaires from the future show up since they've lost their title. And this is the quote-unquote retro boot version of the Legion. And that's what it's at least called on Wikipedia, and I love that term, retro boot. It's a retcon and a reboot all rolled into one, where they basically roll back to a previous incarnation. Pretty much, I don't say admitting defeat of later versions, but that's kind of what it is. So they've gone to more or less the classic version of the characters, but they've, fiddled with the costumes a little here and there, and the personalities just a tad. How familiar are you with the Legion?
Oh, not very.
Okay, so by and large, these were all new characters to you.
Yeah, I recognize some of them, not all of them.
Okay. I thought this issue got off to a interesting start. I mean, what better way to start a story than with a proverbial gauntlet being thrown down in a fight pretty much coming out of nowhere? I'd probably argue almost any other way might be a better way to start the story, but it gets it off with a slugfest, and I guess there's that. This is one of those things where I really am curious how familiar Jeff Lemire, the writer, is with the Legion of Superheroes, because the characters are who they were, sort of. But it doesn't have the feel of a classic Legion story that I would have expected had this been by Paul Levitz or Jeff Johns or somebody who's got a stronger tenure with the team. There were just a couple of things here and there, and it's going to be nitpicks to a degree, that it just felt a little off. I mean, at one point when we really get kind of that introduction to who these characters are, and we get the splash page of the Legion and kind of why they've come back to do what they're doing, there's mentions of the Battle Squad, the Rescue Squad, the Command Team, the Space Team, and all these like sub-teams and such. And I'm like, it may just be an unfortunate way that the narration was kind of done here, but it felt off, because really the only kind of official sub-team the Legion has ever really needed was the Espionage Squad, which, the people who could turn invisible, shrink, shapeshift, or go invisible and such, or intangible. So it read a little, not wrong, but a little just off-center, if you know what I mean. This is the kind of issue that I could see where people such as myself, who've been really wanting to see the Legion come back, would have been looking forward to this. I think some are going to enjoy it, some are going to be a little disappointed. I'm curious where this story arc goes, and more importantly, where it leaves the Legion at the end of this. Now, again, you're coming at it with a lot less baggage than I am. So what were your thoughts on this?
We got a lot of story. I thought that was nice. Mm-hmm. Of course, it is an annual, so it's going to be a little bigger. There were a lot of characters in here, man. This thing is stuffed full of characters, about half of which I was pretty familiar with. And the other half, I could figure out. They gave me some captions and stuff to help out a little bit. Curious about Infinitus.
Mm-hmm.
Is he new, or has he been around forever?
He's been around forever, okay. Pardon the pun.
So he's a Galactus ripoff, or who came first?
That I couldn't tell you. I would imagine Galactus came first, but the difference is Galactus is more, in space eating planets. This is a guy who's kind of almost a walking time anomaly, and has gone up against the Legion a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I would put him more on par with somebody like the Inbetweener or some such than Galactus. Although at that point, really, they're cosmic entities. What's the difference?
Big cosmic and eating worlds. That was the connection for me. But that's cool. That's what DC and Marvel does. Sometimes Marvel gets DC. Sometimes DC gets Marvel. They borrow liberally from each other, and that's just par for the course. It's comics, right? So yeah. I'm cool with that. I just wanted to. I wasn't sure if maybe it was a new creation, and if it was, I was going to cry foul. But that's cool.
No, actually. Virtually nothing in here that I could see was a new creation. And I mean that in a good way, in so much as they're bringing back some characters that I was surprised by. I mean, the cadre there at the end, those aren't new characters either. They actually appeared during the Justice League Detroit era. And were not ones where I'm thinking, oh, wow, I can't wait for them to bring them back. I'm like, wow, that's a surprise. I mean, they weren't bad characters, but the Detroit era was not generally considered to be a high point for the Justice League either.
Yeah, there were some great characters in here that I think maybe could get their own series again. I know they some of them already had their chance, but they seem strong, and I'd kind of like to see more of their stories. So yeah, I hope we see some more of these characters down the road.
I certainly think the Legion hopefully will come out of this in a better position. Hopefully with their own title. I'm not expecting that, but I'm wanting that. I'm also curious because one of the things Lemire did effectively here was he had split the Justice League team in half, and only half of them met the Legion this time. And the half that did not included Supergirl. The reason that's important is she used to be a member of the Legion of Superheroes. But the question is, has this Supergirl ever met this Legion of Superheroes? And I'm betting not, but I'm curious how that kind of plays out when they do finally encounter each other. Particularly Brainiac 5 and Supergirl. There's definite story potential there. Those two had a relationship back in the day. And this was the version of the Legion that had that.
Yeah, I like Brainiac 5 a lot. I thought he was a really good character. We got an appearance of a character that had... let's do a little spoiler, but I won't mention who it is. But who wasn't supposed to be around, and he makes an appearance. I thought that was really cool, and I like that character a lot. And I hope we see more of him around. The art was really good. I really like the art, and some of these characters are drawn really, really well, and the artist really has them down, or has his version of them, which I was impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
That was who off the top of my head? It's Jeff Lemire doing the writing, and who's doing Edwards doing the art?
It is
Neil Edwards.
Neil Edwards doing the penciling. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was really strong. As this went on, we came really like I kind of got more and more into it, and it was an interesting story that I thought had some legs to it, and it felt like an older comic where you might just pick it off the rack, not know anything. It was not knowing what was going on, but you could kind of figure it out as you went through it. And I kind of like that sometimes.
Yeah, they did a good job trying to keep it accessible. And with the army of characters in this, because, I mean, there's a lot of Justice Leaguers, a lot of Legionnaires, a number of other villains and other characters, too. I mean, there's, like you said, a ton of story and a ton of things and characters going on in here. To juggle that and not have it be completely overwhelming, both from a story point of view and an art point of view, I was very impressed by that. So to me, this was a 4 out of 5. Not the strongest of fours, but it's got a lot of potential and stuff. It was a good issue, and it was a reasonably good kind of standalone issue. Not that it's complete, it's kicking off a storyline, but it was a good use of an annual.
Yeah, it's a high 3 for me. Didn't quite make the 4, but I think I liked it enough that I, if they make another appearance, I'll check them out.
My understanding is they're going to be in the next couple of issues of this title, and again, we'll see what happens with them after that. I am hopeful, like I said, that they get at least a mini series or hopefully an ongoing coming out of this. I think the Legion is too good of a team to not use.
Yeah, this story will continue in Justice League United 6. So if you don't usually pick up annuals, you better pick this up or you won't know what's going on in number 6.
Yep. Shall we move on to a Marvel book?
Sure.
This is Deathlok number 1. Now, I've always found the character interesting. I did not read the early Deathlok stuff. That was a little before my time at Marvel. But I got kind of hooked on the character when he showed up, I guess, in Captain America. There was a period with the Captain America title where it was kind of the Mark Gruenwald era of the book, which lasted quite some time, where characters were just brought out of mothballs, used for a bit to kind of get them exposed to a new audience, and then, okay, let's go for the next kind of obscure character. Deathlok was one of those. There were a ton of others. One of my favorite runs of the Captain America book. And this is a new version of Deathlok. There have been a couple. And this is spinning out of, I guess, the original Sins miniseries. The first issue is where we first saw Henry Hayes, who we follow here. So this is kind of both a first issue and kind of not, because there's that other issue that we've already had, or at least that other story we've already had. But I felt this one did a pretty good job giving us a sense of Hayes' life just as him, you know, working for Medics Without Borders, at least as far as he knows, and his life as Deathlok. We're introduced to kind of his handlers, somewhat obliquely, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that's going to go chase him down. So we know already kind of the basic trajectory of the series of, okay, he's a pawn between these two competing, you know, forces, and kind of stuck in the middle. We don't know tons about either group's agenda, but we've got a sense of at least what's at play here. And I thought it did a really good job kind of setting all of that up pretty quickly, and having some good action sequences, and frankly telling just a lot of story in these pages.
Oh yeah, I thought it did a really good job of establishing his character as well. And has he always been like a secret Avenger with the mind reset after in years past, or in different incarnations, or is this a new version?
This is a new version. In past incarnations, he's been basically a soldier with a computer assist kind of, you know, backseat driver on board, if you will. One of the versions was a pacifist, and the computer would kind of take over and, you know, start slaughtering people. And he's like, no, got to have some ground rules here, guy. You know, and so the remote control robotic aspect, the whole mind wipe thing is new here, but it's in line with what they've done before, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. Yeah. I thought that was really a cool little story beat. I think that makes a lot of sense in it. You're right. It you kind of see, okay, we know what we're up against in this series. He's going to start to discover what he's really doing, or somebody's going to spill the beans and try to help him with this, and he's going to be fighting against that and fighting against those forces maybe down the road. And it's seems like it's going to be a lot of fun and something I want to read.
Well, and one of the twists they could do if they wanted to, and I don't know if they will or not, we're kind of set up to believe that Henry Hayes, Deathlok here, once he eventually kind of clues in as to what's really going on and where his position is between these two forces, we would expect him to side with S.H.I.E.L.D. But they could always play him as he's not as you know, heroic as one might expect a lead character of a title to be. Who knows? He may side with the handlers, which depends on their agenda, too. So there's a couple of twists I could see where they could go. And it's just it's a well-constructed premise for a series, because it's got a lot of story potential.
Yeah, and it's a strong first issue in that it's not 20% of a story. You know, it felt like a full story, but there's plenty more to tell. But least, and I like that. Nathan Edmondson did a good job writing this. I think he really really strong writer, and I thought the art by Mike Perkins was really good. Again, no problems with any of the art either, and this was a good debut, and I had zero expectations for this. Didn't know much about this character at all. I knew he had been a bit player in a couple other comics that I had read, or, you know, just not of any substance. So for him to carry his own comic, I didn't know what to expect. And I thought they did a really good job, and I'm going to stick with this. And it was a 4 for.
Cool. No, I agree with everything you said there. This has a lot of potential. He can definitely carry this book, and I think he could do it for the long haul. Hopefully it finds an audience. It's something that this is a good, I don't want to say reimagining, but a good take on this character. It's not redundant with what's gone before, but it's not in violation of that either. It's interesting, and just the amount of story packed in this first issue, we got a good couple of action sequences, a lot of the status quo. It's not over and done, but it was a complete issue, and so few first issues are these days. So for me, very strong 4 out of 5, and I hope they have a lot of success with this. Shall we move on to our other book of the week? This is Rasputin number 1 from Image Comics. Now, I had opted not to pre-order this, so I read the press PDF version of this, and I've got no particular knowledge or interest in the Russia's Mad Monk Rasputin character. So this is kind of an introduction to the character of sorts for me. And I want to give these guys a lot of credit. There's a lot of the story that was very much shown, not told, and by which I mean there are a couple of pages where the letterer just got off real easy. There was really no dialogue and stuff, and it was literally shown. But there were also a couple of aspects of the story I didn't quite get, and I think there's an aspect here where I must have just missed part of it. You know, who are some of these people, what look like ghosts at the dinner table? There's a flashback, and I'm like, well, why? What's going on? And I thought the present-day stuff, which was more of a framing sequence than anything else, didn't really move forward. I don't feel that I've really gotten to know Rasputin or his dinner guests or anything. At Deathlock, I came in, they set everything up, they told me a lot of stuff, got me hooked, and then finished the issue. Here, they teased. They didn't sell, at least in my opinion. What were your thoughts on this?
I read this thing in 90 seconds, I think. It was the breeziest comic I have ever read. And there's just not a lot here. And it started off one way with this dinner party, and you think, oh, this is kind of neat. We've got some intrigue. And then it's all flashback, via pictures and no text at all. And you get to the end and you think, huh, we never really circled back around to anything that we started. Do I want to come back for another one? It was just really, really light for a first issue. They start to give you a little bit of something interesting and fell off the rails a little bit, I think. A flashback would have been a good issue 2 or issue 3. Maybe establish this character a little more. I don't think there's enough here to warrant a single issue purchase. You know, maybe this will be great in trade in a big chunk, but man, this is really, really a light piece of story.
What's interesting is this issue has sold out at the distributor level and is slated for a second printing. Now, I don't know how much they printed or what the orders were. We'll find that out with the next set of numbers and such. But I, too, felt that this was just very, very light on story. I mean, I don't think it was a bad comic, but because, I mean, I didn't actively dislike anything I read. I just didn't think there was a whole lot there to read, and I don't even know who most of the characters in this kind of are, particularly at the dinner table or whatever there. There's a few story aspects, telling aspects, again, the ghost-like images. I don't know what's up with that. I left the issue perplexed, but not in the, ooh, there's a mystery to solve, but more in a I don't get how they were telling the story way. And maybe I'm just not part of the target audience. I don't know. But this is one that, you know, again, I passed on the pre-order stage, read the press copy, am thinking that was the right choice for me. But I was also prepared if this had lived up to the solicit, which basically made it sound like he was just going to have a brutal day, get killed, get drowned, a few other things, and then move on. It's like, I mean, the pitch sounded pretty interesting. At least for interesting enough to review, obviously not interesting enough for me to pre-order. I didn't feel any of that was in this issue, though. This is one that's written too much for the trade, potentially, or at least not enough for the single issue or the first issue to sell me on it. I see no reason for me to come back for another issue.
I feel guilty. I talked you into this one, so I'm partially responsible. But, you know, so is Alex Grecian, who wrote this, and Riley Rossmo, who did the art. And his art is good. It's a pretty book to look at. But, yeah, you get a feeling for a couple of the folks around the table who they might be, but not all of them, you know. And the at least one of the ghosts you can kind of figure out as the flashback goes through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just not enough here, and we don't even know if it'll read well in trade. Like you said, we're just assuming it might. But they didn't do a good job with as a single issue to hook me as a reader and say I'm coming back. And you know, I like things that are loosely based in, you know, true characters and things. You know, I'm loving Manifest Destiny, which is, you know, a variation on the Lewis and Clark tale. So, you know, I'm not against that whole genre. And so I was ready to like this, and it did not execute a first issue the way I think it should be executed. So it's a 2.
I was debating the 2. I'm going to go with a low 3. To me, it wasn't bad. It was just insubstantial. And the funny thing is, I read Proof, which this creative team did a couple of years back. Mm. Really enjoyed that. So I know they're capable of better, and I'm hoping this just got off to a slow start and it picks up steam. But I'm also probably not going to know unless somebody goes and tells me.
Yeah.
Because I can't see any reason for me to come back.
Right.
So what else did you read this week?
Well, Southern Bastards is back finally from its long hiatus. They did 4 issues, published a trade, and then took a little bit of time off. It felt like a long time, and it's back, going in a totally different direction, and still solid storytelling. Really enjoying that book a lot. War Stories #2, I really like it. Garth Ennis war book from Avatar is really strong. Brian Woods, The Massive, over at Dark Horse. Issue 28 was out, and that's winding down toward issue 30. That'll be its end. And so they're tying up all these loose ends, and it's really some satisfying storytelling there, you know, finally getting some closure on all these things. So hate to see it end, but they're doing a good job of ending it. Saga was great. Saga 24 was great.
That's about to go on another hiatus, yeah.
They do small hiatuses between arcs, and then I think every couple of arcs, then they take the big 3-month hiatus, and that's going to be a painful one. I think they were talking like March before they come back. Is that right?
I knew it was going to be a long one. That seems a little longer than I was expecting.
Yeah, maybe it's January. I knew it was going to be a while, more than a month.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll have that nice deluxe hardcover to tide us over if you want to spend $50 on it.
Well, and they're up front and they announce, hey, we're going to take a break for a little bit. You know, these things take time for these guys to do. And if they want to either do other projects or just need more time to work on this and stuff, so when it comes out on a regular basis, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I enjoyed Wolverine and the X-Men's continuing eulogy for Logan. I thought that was really good. And the Quentin Quire stuff was awesome. I really liked that.
I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was as good as some of the other stuff we've seen. I kind of preferred the Death of Wolverine, Deadpool, and Captain America issue we got this week.
Oh, I didn't read that one.
That was pretty interesting, because of course all of them are kind of, you know, super soldiers of one ilk or another. And that was kind of an interesting comparison. And then, you know, we got more of the Logan legacy stuff, which is okay.
Yeah.
Enjoyed
the Swamp Thing annual. That was pretty good.
That was good. I was surprised by that, the story they chose to tell and whatnot.
Yeah, really good. Read the Harley Quinn annual. Not as impressed with that one.
I can understand that.
Couldn't help myself, though. It was the scratch and sniff. So
rub and smell. I guess there's a trademark there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't care. That's one of those. It's like, come on, that's just such a gimmick. But, you know, they were upfront about that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They had fun with the concept of what they both, you know, chose not to and chose to give you the option to smell. What else was interesting this week? Archer and Armstrong, All New X-Men.
Yeah, that was good.
Final issue of Atomic Robo's current miniseries. Batman Eternal, I thought this was a little bit of a down point for me. Again, once we get the Spectre and stuff getting in there, it's just not what I want to see in Gotham, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
And the whole Gotham by Midnight or whatever title. I'll try that out. I'll give it a bit. We'll see how that goes. That may be... They're getting to the point where there are enough titles that are clearly aimed towards other audiences than what I'm a part of. And that's good, I guess. But I'm all in at DC right now. And the minute I get not all in, a couple other titles may just kind of go.
That's what I'm waiting for, those dominoes to fall, because I keep looking at these Gotham Academies and these younger skewing titles, and I'm thinking at some point, John is not going to stick with these. I just can't see him sticking with all these. They just aren't your demographic, I wouldn't think. So, and I'm wondering what's going to happen when the levee breaks.
Well, it's one of those that, you know, sometimes I pull back. It's not like I'm going to totally abandon and stuff, but with the Confluence event coming up, I'm curious how their lineup at DC is going to change coming out of that. And it may be that they split the line across different worlds, at which point, you know, I may feel the need to be all in on particular worlds, but not everything.
Yeah.
You know, but there are a couple that are just, I'm curious where they're going with things like Gotham Academy, and stuff like that. But until a book is one of those where it's just a complete waste of my time to read, you know, I'm willing to hang on through some low points on some stuff if I expect a high point later on or a benefit to having had read it. But, you know, we'll see what happens there.
Right.
Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
You know, I think that does it.
Cool. Join us next week as we discuss Superman Unchained number 9 from DC, Spider-Verse Team-Up number 1 from Marvel, and Fuse number 7 from Image Comics. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.